After spending $1 billion on a failed border security fence project, the Homeland Security Department restarted that project a couple of years ago. But it didn't get far. A $145 million award for 7 new surveillance towers has been halted thanks to a successful protest. Raytheon filed that protest against the winning bidder, EFW, an affiliate of the Israeli defense contractor Elbit. The Government Accountability Office sustained the protest. Procurement attorney Joe Petrillo joins us now to sort out this case. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, folks.
All right, so this is one where the GAO went into really deep technical points and counterpoints of the proposal. Is what mitigated against the award that came out just in February?
Well, the award was made to a company that was somewhat higher in price, but the decision was made because they were perceived to have had an excellent proposal that was superior to that of Raytheon, which was lower in price. There was an overall judgment that the EFW proposal would require less work by the operator, so it would be easier to use, easier in practice to find and detect people intruding into the border, across the border. And there were three reasons that were given as examples of why that was the case. Raytheon protested all three, and GAO agreed with them on two of the reasons. In addition, there were some issues about the past performance evaluation that I'll get into as well. But the crux of the matter, I think, is mostly in the technical evaluation issues. There were two factors that the Department of Homeland Security found were particularly important. One had to do with the ability of EFW's system to enhance images. There was a proprietary aspect of their proposal that's been deleted from the decision since it's proprietary, but it apparently had something to do with enhancing the image and making it more usable. Raytheon's argument in opposition to that was, well, we have a high-resolution camera, and we think our camera has higher resolution than that of EFW, so why didn't we get the same amount of credit for that issue? This is the type of technical judgment that you can find many GAO decisions where they simply defer to the agency. In this one, however, they went down into the weeds and looked at the record and decided that they didn't agree with the DHS decision.
So it seems like they basically had big checklists and went through and said, well, Raytheon can do that too. Raytheon can do that one too. And really went and tried to make its own, they tried to make their own determination as to whether EFW or Raytheon should be getting this award.
Well, they looked at the factors that DHS put in their decision documentation, their award decision documentation, and some of those just didn't seem to add up to GAO.
So is the bottom line that the GAO doesn't understand why the Homeland Security Department believes the EFW product would be better?
Basically, that's right. Yeah, it doesn't find support for that in the record. For instance, one of the issues was, well, how did you determine that one feature was more important than the other feature? And DHS based its evaluation largely, I think, on an actual demonstration of the system. And GAO said, well, that's perfectly fine. You can do that, but we didn't like how you did this particular demonstration. For one thing, there apparently was much worse weather when Raytheon was demonstrating its system. You used two separate evaluation teams, which in itself isn't objectionable, but there was some data that was available from software that is supposed to determine the relative quality of the image, and you sort of got that data in the proposal, but it doesn't look like you used it for anything. So those are the types of objections that a GAO came up with in its decision and upheld that ground of protest. In another aspect of the technical evaluation, the source selection authority found that the EFW proposal was superior in clutter reduction for the image. And GAO wasn't entirely clear what was meant by that in the decision, and there didn't seem to be a lot about that in the evaluators' documentation. So that one seems to be more a question of the agency not explaining in adequate detail what it found as the superior aspect of the proposal.
We're speaking with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. So what happens now? They sustain the protest, and does the Homeland Security Department have to go look at all of the original 14 bidders again, the seven semifinalists, or just the two, the protester and the one they originally picked?
Well, there's nothing in this decision that would require them to go back over the other proposals. This one really only deals with the relative evaluations of Raytheon and EFW. But some other disappointed bidder out there might be, you know, if they're not included in that reevaluation, might think that maybe they should file a protest at the Court of Federal Claims, which they would still be able to do at this point. That's speculation on my part. I have no idea whether or not anyone will. At a minimum, they're going to have to go back and look at the technical evaluation and either change it in the ways that GAO thinks it's faulty, or at least come up with better and more detailed explanations for why they made the judgments they did. On the past performance issue, it looks like they're kind of in a corner there, because it doesn't seem that that issue can be changed unless they reopen proposals for another round of bidding. Basically, on the past performance issue, they found that EFW was credited for the experience of its affiliates, in other words, parts of the Elbit corporate family. But there was insufficient information in the proposal to explain what those other parts were going to be doing in performance. And so GAO said that it wasn't appropriate to credit EFW with the past performance of its affiliates unless it's clear that they were actually going to do work on the contract.
Joe, this process has been going on for a couple of years now, and so this is a major blow not only to a very expensive and sort of key high-profile project, but to a lot of work and effort. As you read it, at the department, who was mostly in error, according to GAO? Was it the people who wrote the bid and the proposal, or those who implemented it and evaluated the candidates against it?
Well, there doesn't seem to be too much of a criticism of the way the proposal, the protest was structured. I think if you look at what GAO has decided, GAO at least finds fault in two respects. One, it doesn't like the technical aspects of the evaluation by DHS, and two, it thinks that EFW didn't do a good job of explaining in its proposal which of its corporate affiliates were going to do work on the proposal and what they were going to, on the contract and what they were going to do.
So that gives them clues on how to strengthen themselves for the next round, probably.
If there is a next round, that's right. I mean, as a protest attorney, there are two things that stand out for me in this decision. One is, as I mentioned, they go into the weeds on technical judgments that most often GAO will simply defer to the agency on. And, you know, we try to figure out why in some cases GAO does that, in other cases they don't, and it's not very transparent. The other aspect is, stepping back a bit, you wonder whether, who's right on these technical issues? Is it the agency? Is it GAO? What GAO says certainly makes logical sense, but just because you can provide a cogent reason doesn't necessarily mean it's correct as a technical matter. I remember when the General Services Board was doing these cases, that was doing bid protests, you would have experts testify in a hearing, be examined and cross-examined, and there'd be a good opportunity for the judge making the decision to get full information, understand the matters thoroughly, and issue a correct decision. GAO doesn't have that kind of robust system, there's no indication they had any kind of hearing here. And so you wonder whether they've really come to the right conclusion on technical matters.
And of course, there's always, you said that the price was higher, but that Immigration and Customs Enforcement, I guess, is the one building this thing, said that it would result in higher productivity because it was easier to use. And that's sort of a best value judgment as opposed to a technology judgment. You remember a case more than 20 years ago, the Treasury had a big award for computers. And it was like twice, they ordered them, I forget who the bidders were, but they ordered computers that were the very first ones to have a windowing type system. And so they were significantly more expensive than the next one. And the protest was upheld because Treasury could prove that they would give people greater productivity and therefore the life cycle costs were lower.
Well, I remember that well because I was a consultant to Treasury on that protest, and
that was the H.W. Bush administration.
It was a long time ago, and you know there was a. I remember we presented a very, very thorough analysis by technical experts of you know why how productivity would be improved and even sort of quantified that in some significant ways. Now GAO and the courts don't require people to quantify those productivity gains, but certainly that is an important factor in IT acquisitions.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the law firm Petrillo & Powell. Joe, thanks as always.
You're very welcome.